Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Attic Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, all you movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, folks, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. And today, just in time for Valentine's Day, we'll be talking about romantic movies that have won a Best Picture Oscar, which is also a timely topic since the upcoming Academy Award presentations are scheduled in about, well, I think it's 2.5 weeks on Sunday, March 2nd. So we're especially happy that award-winning filmmaker David Spaltrow and noted film critic Marilyn Ferdinand have agreed to be our guests. David and Marilyn both have a passion for film, coupled with in-depth knowledge about cinema. David's independent movie, Things I Don't Understand, earned numerous awards and is keeping on earning them on the film festival circuit, and includes an unusual love story treated with sensitivity by this talented director. And Marilyn operates Ferdy on Films, which was named a Best World Cinema Blog of 2011. She also loves a good cause and even co-hosts wonderful blogathons to help support worthy film projects. Now, before bringing David and Marilyn on, let's see if Nikki Starr is ready to help with the show. Nikki, has the red carpet we requested been installed in our chat room yet?
It certainly has, and it's rolled out, and we're ready to go.
Excellent. Our chatters should have the royal treatment. And Nikki, be sure to pass out the those candy hearts, because we really appreciate our listeners, all of our listeners, whether they're in the chat or whether they're listening archived or live. We also appreciate David and Marilyn taking time to be on our show today. They've been waiting patiently in the green room, so let's bring them on right now. Ladies first as usual, but I want to mention that they've both been guests here before, and big hits too. So Marilyn, welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Thank you so much, Betty Jo. It's just a delight to be back and talk with you again, and I'm very excited about this show.
Well, I knew you'd enjoy this topic, so I'm so glad you're here. And I have to tell our listeners that if they want in-depth film commentary, they should go to your Ferdy on Films blog. That's the place to find it. It's great to have you as a guest again. We feel the same way about David. Hi, David. Kudos on all the awards for your independent movie.
Hey, Betty. Thanks again for having me back. It's been a great year.
It has been a great year for you. What was the most recent award that Things I Don't Understand? I try to keep up with you on Facebook, but the awards keep coming in, and I can't keep track of them.
Oh, we had a great year. I think I couldn't even tell you what the last award was, but we had a really successful festival tour. We did over 40 festivals. We won 12 best features, and more importantly, a lot of the actors that were involved all got some much-ado props for their work, so they really made the film something special.
Well, congratulations. You know, I really found that film so thought-provoking, and that love story is quite unusual and very well done. And speaking of love stories, we better get back to our topic of the day.
Yes.
The romantic
theme.
They're
all weird and unusual.
Yeah, right. We could talk about all of these other things probably for the whole show, but we did promise listeners that we would talk about romantic-themed Oscar-winning Best Pictures, and I had a lot of fun going through the 85 Best Picture winners. I was surprised to find that I've seen all of them, not necessarily when they were first released, but I have seen all of them. And these are the ones that, in alphabetical order, that I've picked as the ones with romantic themes that that deserve some consideration. An American in Paris, Annie Hall, The Apartment, The Artist, Casablanca, The English Patient, Gigi, Gone with the Wind, It Happened One Night, Marty, My Fair Lady, Out of Africa, Shakespeare in Love, Slumdog Millionaire, Titanic, and West Side Story. What great films, mostly. I do have one that I'm not too pleased about, but so mostly. But before we get to talking about our favorites, I'm really, really eager, though, to find out what the ones you've picked out as your top five. But we should probably go into what important elements we look for in a romantic film. Marilyn, do you want to start with that? What are the things that you look for in this type of movie?
Oh, well, sure. Well, first of all, you definitely have to have a couple that has great chemistry. You can have the best written film, you can have wonderful scenery and costumes, but if the actors are really not feeling it, it's not going to translate. So that's very important. But for me, I think one of the things I really look for is a certain equality in the couple. And I mean, by that, I like a couple that's evenly matched. I like the screwball comedies where the men and women, you know, give in as well as they get. And I just think it makes for a much more sizzling, exciting romance and the kind of romance I think a lot of people would like to have. So that's very important to me.
I like the way you think. I certainly agree with those elements, and I hadn't thought of the equal match between the couples. That's really important.
And it doesn't really have important. To start out that way either. For example, in The Lady Eve, we don't have Barbara Stanwyck is got it all over Fred McMurray, but in the end, he brings out the best in her. And with Gigi, one of the films that we're going to be talking about, we can see Leslie Caron brings out the best in Louis Jourdan. It just, they don't start out as equals, but they end up that way. And that's what I really like.
Well said. Do you agree with Marilyn, David, or do you have other elements that you, you'd like to add as to the important ones that you look for in the in this type of movie?
I think I absolutely agree. I think that chemistry particularly, and I think what's interesting is like people will talk about the spark or what connects people and how it doesn't always, what that is as in terms of chemistry. So there are sometimes real-life couples that have chemistry in real life, and then they do a film together, and it doesn't translate. Or there are people that don't even get along off screen, but there's just something about them cinematically that connects. So just finding that right chemistry or pairing of people, because they're going to be the avatars of what we're talking about, which is a love story, which is supposed to relate to different kinds of people and their own experiences. The other thing I think that's really important is sort of the vulnerability of both characters and how mm-hmm. I think what Marilyn was also talking about is how they're on even ground, but they can also, one doesn't just make somebody better. One doesn't come in and save the day necessarily. They complement each other. Their flaws complement each other, and they become better people as a unit or as a couple.
I agree with that point. Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to have to break in and say I was wrong. It's not Fred McMurray. It's Henry Fonda. So sorry.
Oh, Henry Fonda. Oh, okay. I sometimes get those two mixed up. But the point of
vulnerability. Well, I know your listeners would know.
Yeah, that would be a very angry email.
But I do like that vulnerability that you mentioned, David. And of course, I think all three of us are on the right track when we say that the chemistry between the lovers has to be there. It's just kind of the way they look at each other that creates a spark, just an immediate spark, and you know that you're in for some fireworks as you go through the movie. It's undeniable. I mean, the chemistry between the lovers, and I think that is really crucial for a romantic-themed movie. But now I'm curious to see if the three of us would pick the same favorites out of these 16 romantic-themed movies that have won Best Picture. So I'm going to take my trusty pen and paper here, and I'm going to make some notes and or a tally. So, Marilyn, why don't you go first on that? Which ones would you pick as your top five favorites and why?
Okay, well, Casablanca. It's just one of the most perfect films, and it's got intrigue, it's got cynicism and romanticism, it's got great friendships and wonderful stirring moments, and I really don't think you can beat Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart. They just really tear it up. So that's definitely one. Another one would be Gone with the Wind, which is it's a barn burner of a movie. I mean, it's got it all, and I just think Vivien Leigh was just superb in it, in every aspect, and mm-hmm. was, as I said before, that equal with Clark Gable. They really could spar as well as love, and I just love everything about that movie. I'm also a big fan of Marty, which I think is a film that's often overlooked, but what I like about it is how human it is and how the couple in it, they're rather plain people. They don't think they've got much going for each other, but then they do find each other, and that's what they've got going, and they can stand up to anything as long as they're together. And I think Ernest Borgnine gives a heartbreaking as well as a strong performance in that film. Then I'm going to go with Shakespeare in Love, a more modern film that I think is incredibly clever. It has a wonderful zest in it, and coming up with ideas for how Shakespeare figured out what he wanted to do. I'm a big Shakespeare fan, and I just delighted in the whole film, just bright and funny and romantic. And then my favorite is Gigi. I love the music. I love the costumes. I love the period. It took a story that has some hard edges, and it didn't sand them all down. There was definitely those edges were still there. But in this case, Leslie Caron really brought them out and made Louis Jourdan a better man. And so that one's kind of my top.
Oh, my gosh. What a great group of films you picked on that list. And David, how about you? What are your top five favorites and why?
Well, I'm going to say that they're all fantastic films. But for me, the ones that I thought best for the genre that spoke to me, I'm going to start with The Apartment. It's not just a fantastic film and beautiful romance story, but it's also my favorite film. It's a film that I've seen way too many times and I could watch over and over again. It's Billy Wilder at perfection. His stories, what I love about Billy Wilder is he was sort of genreless. He did so many different kinds of films. He could do Sunset Boulevard and Some Like It Hot, and then a film like The Apartment, and then Double Indemnity. But with The Apartment, it's just the humanity in his character. It's fairly dark, particularly for the time period it was made in the late 50s, early 60s. And just the truth and the honesty of the, and just talking about subjects too, the way they handled sex or the workforce or the main character in Suicide, which is I kind of cribbed from my film, her name. It's a really beautiful, honest story. And the same thing for a film like Annie Hall, which, you know, despite everything that's going on right now, it's one of those films that is so revered. And we kind of forget how original and how so many other romantic comedies, or it might have even really invented the modern romantic comedy, and the dynamic between Woody Allen's character and Diane Keaton's character, and how much it gave and has inspired and continues to inspire that genre and those films, and just the freshness and the originality of it. Another pick of mine would be, I believe, Slumdog Millionaire, a more recent one.
But what I really enjoy about that is it's by Danny Boyle, who's kind of like, to me, a modern-day Billy Wilder. He's also sort of genreless where he comes, but all his films have that same similar energy. And there's something, I think one of the things that I didn't say about what is great about those romantic pictures or what helps them pop is the sort of overcoming the odds of the character fighting for love. Because
yes.
love isn't always pretty, love isn't always easy, and other than just the storybook, everything kind of works out. Slumdog Millionaire really has that sort of overcoming the odds and destiny and trying to find your mate and connect with that person. And I would say Casablanca and also Gone with the Wind were my other two picks. And I mean, they speak for themselves. Their iconography, what they've added to film. But what I really like about a few of those films, though, is the ending. That it's not always a clean cut ending. I don't think I'm going to be spoiling Casablanca or Gone with the Wind for anybody either. If I do, you can still go see it. But they don't end very happy, and things don't necessarily work out, and that's like life, and that's like love. And I think that sometimes that honesty in the story connects to people too.
Wow, and we already have both of you picking Casablanca and Gone with the Wind, and I'm with you on Casablanca, but I'm not. I don't know. Gone with the Wind isn't on my list, although of course it's a great movie. But I'm the most avid movie musical fan. I think both of you know that. So
yes.
So everybody knows that. So it's not surprising that there are four musicals on this list of 16. Four that won Best Picture, and Gigi is one of them that I definitely have on my list, and I agree with everything you said, Marilyn, about Gigi. And that cinematography in that movie, my husband and I just saw it again on Turner Classic Movies a couple of weeks ago. That movie holds up. That is one of the most gorgeously filmed movie I think that I've ever seen.
Without a doubt,
and
yeah.
It just absolutely takes your breath away. So Gigi, a musical, yay, we have that one. And An American in Paris, I definitely, so there we are with Leslie Caron in both of those films. She
mm-hmm.
was just marvelous. And interesting that I don't think she got a nomination for An American in Paris, and I'm disappointed about that, and I'm disappointed that she didn't win an Oscar for Gigi, because she certainly deserved one there. And so that leaves My Fair Lady as my four. Then I have to go. Casablanca is my number one pick, and my number two pick, you'll be surprised, is The Artist. Now, that blew me away, The Artist. It was kind of, I know it was a silent movie, but it reminded me of Singin' in the Rain meets A Star is Born, and I love both of those movies. Singin' in the Rain is my all-time favorite movie, and it just had the same energy, and of course about show business, and I love anything about show business and behind the scenes in the movie, and I thought it was just delightful. Made me want to see more silent movies. So, okay, we have Gigi then with two, and so the only ones that Casablanca is the one that we all three have, and I'm not surprised. What a movie that is.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about the chemistry, on-screen chemistry, you're right. I mean, Bergman and Bogart, I mean, it was just extraordinary. And David, what you said, sometimes people, you know, barely talk to each other, you know, and really don't like each other, and they can be paired on screen, and their chemistry is just, you know, jumps out at you. It's so great. And I hear that that's what happened with Bergman and Bogart. I hear that they barely talked with each other on set.
Yeah.
Am I right about that? Is that what you've heard, Marilyn?
I am not really sure about that, to tell you the truth. I know that in West Side Story, Natalie Wood and Richard Boehmer did not get along at all, and it hurt their performance. But if it's true of Bogart and Bergman, all I can say is that it intensified what was going on with them. The conflict that they had in their feelings just seemed to work, whether they were just being great professionals or if there was something a little extra there. You never know. Maybe they doth protest too much.
Oh, I see. We're avoiding each other. Well, I think that Humphrey Bogart's wife at the time was accusing Bogart of having an affair with Bergman or wanting to or something like that. I mean, that's a little gossip there. So maybe that was why they were not so friendly off the set. Had you heard anything about that, David?
I feel like it's familiar that they maybe didn't speak or there was something going on behind the scenes with the pairing. But what I think is really interesting about the story, and maybe that's also if there was something going on between them or something had gone on between them or they weren't speaking, that sort of enforces it, is that it's a love story about love that has kind of already happened and gone by in the past and is kind of in a different stage now, but it's never really gone. And it doesn't wrap up completely neatly. And I think that's kind of what the dynamic there of this relationship that happened previously that we're kind of privy to throughout the story and how it's continuing on and the culmination of the film and what it means to have been in love with somebody and never, even if a relationship doesn't work out, how it changes you and how you change the person, kind of like what Marilyn was saying and how they affect each other and go on with their lives. Sometimes,
yes, well,
for the better.
Certainly,
yeah.
Certainly, it doesn't have to be an absorbing love story. It certainly doesn't have to end happily. After all, we should ask for Marilyn about this because she's a Shakespeare fan, and Romeo and Juliet certainly didn't end happily. So, do you agree with that, Marilyn? That you don't have to have a happy ending for a good romantic theme movie.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, where would we be without our tearjerkers? That's a very romantic thing to have that feeling of longing or the feeling of loss. Some of us, you know, may have had the experience of loving very intensely and not having that love returned or having it thwarted in some way. And there's something oddly soothing about that ache or the feeling that you did have this great love at one point. So I certainly think that that's true for Casablanca, is that people can certainly relate to that. I there's probably as many broken romances as happy ones. So it's kind of a universal feeling. And, yeah, I mean, with Romeo and Juliet, certainly a very very sad ending to something that could have been so beautiful, but Shakespeare wants us to take a lesson from that, you know, maybe we should be thinking less about being each other's enemies and more about being having love for each other, and I think that makes their romance so much more beautiful.
Well, that's I think that's a very, very good point, and I was interested, too, in what you mentioned about West Side Story. That was a modern version of Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
And you mentioned about about how Richard Boehmer and Natalie Wood didn't get along, and that affected their performance. And that's one of the reasons that I love the dancing in that. That's one of my favorite dance movies. I mean, it was just incredible. And it is interesting that Rita Moreno and George Chakiris both won supporting Oscars for their work in that movie, but Natalie Wood and Richard Boehmer were completely ignored by the Academy. So,
well, there was some some thought that they were miscast, and you know, that's hindsight at this point. It is certainly a towering achievement of a film that, unfortunately, the central love interest wasn't quite as strong as the other aspects of it. Yeah.
It did win 10 Oscars.
Yes.
Out of 11 nominations.
Yes.
It was, so it really is the musical, the romantic theme musical that won, no, wait, well, musical that won Oscars, won the most Oscars. But Titanic, I'm surprised that none of us mentioned Titanic, and yet it won, besides Best Picture, 10 other Oscars for a total of 11 Oscars. But I'm so upset, not one nomination for Leonardo DiCaprio that year.
Mm.
For as hard as he worked, he sold that movie.
I feel like
I didn't really care for it.
He might have been the sacrificial lamb for the amount of attention that that film had gotten that year, where they, you know, they felt like everything else was going to get rewarded, so they needed to put the backlash on somebody. Maybe he got snubbed because he was the matinee idol. It was too easy for him to play that part.
Yeah, I guess, I've told this story many times on, but I can't pass up because I really do feel bad about this. I've watched that film a couple of times to see if I changed my mind, but I didn't care for it the first time that I saw it, and so I thought, well, everybody is just loving it. My granddaughters have seen it 13 times. They really love it. And the second time, I couldn't. I thought Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio were great together, and that they showed the passion that was needed. But it just was overblown, I thought. And it was more of a disaster movie, of course, than a romantic-themed movie. But I am still in the doghouse with my granddaughters for panning that movie.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, that was Titanic. Well, I think we can officially announce to the world that Movie Addict Headquarters, including David Spaltrow, Marilyn Ferdinand, and Betty Jo Tucker, have picked the top three romantic-themed movies that have won Best Picture. Number one is Casablanca. And then two and three, they're tied, would be Gigi and Gone with the Wind. And we don't have a clear, you know, fourth and fifth. So will you pass that information on to your friends and family that we have three winners?
Yeah.
Our favorites, yeah.
It's official.
And I don't think our picks are off target at all. But let's go back to the chemistry between the lovers in these movies. We've already talked about Bogart and Bergman, but who else would you rate as having the best chemistry in these movies? What actors and actresses would you pick? Marilyn, you want to go from there?
Yeah, I would, and I hope this isn't controversial, but I do think Gwyneth Paltrow and Joseph Fiennes in Shakespeare in Love showed a lot of chemistry. And it was a funny kind of chemistry because she had to pretend to be, you know, a man in order to play that part. And so I just found it very delightful the way the chemistry kind of crept up, and I just found it thoroughly delightful. So I would have to say that they played that one a little bit tricky, and I think they played it very, very well. I'd also say in West Side Story that Rita Moreno and George Chakiris had tremendous chemistry together, even if Natalie and Richard didn't, and that showed in them getting Oscars. So I would definitely say those showed a lot of chemistry. And then I don't think we can forget about Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert in It Happened One Night. You know, they were just such a delightful sparring, again, that sort of screwball type of romance that I really enjoy. I really enjoyed their performances. The film wasn't in my top picks, but I certainly do like it very, very much, and I think they were great.
I agree with you about that. That's the best, I think, that Clark Gable was romantically in that movie, and I loved the humor. I thought the humor that he had in that movie, along with Claudette Colbert, was you know, just so appealing. So I would agree with you on that. David, who would you pick out as the actor and actresses with the best chemistry, other than Bogart and Bergman?
Sure. I'm to go back to one of my picks in The Apartment. I think Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine had really beautiful chemistry. I think, you know, because they spend a couple days together and sort of have to really fall in love, and they play characters that are, you know, it's a very interesting film because it's dark, but it's not jaded and cynical. There's real heart and humanity, which is something I like. I like when it's not completely sugar-coated, but at the same time, it's not, we've given up, you know, and I think, you know, the main character, Jack Lemmon, is using his apartment, his bosses are using it for their mistresses and their affairs, and so there's a lot of this amorous activity going on. He's usually off in a cold park bench sleeping, and Shirley MacLaine is one of the mistresses of his boss who is being cut loose, and, you know, her dreams are crushed, and she attempts suicide, and these two wounded people kind of let their humanity remain and connect and find each other, and I think it's just really played beautifully, everything, including the ending scene where they're just playing a deck of cards and being fresh with each other. There's just so much love. There's a scene where Jack Lemmon takes a punch from Shirley MacLaine's brother-in-law who's trying to find her, and rather than the brother-in-law find out what's been going on and that she, you know, is having an affair or thinks any less of her, he takes this punch, and he's so happy after the fact. You know, she says, "You're a fool, you're a crazy fool." He's got this beautiful look on his face, and to me, out of all of them, that's love. So I thought their chemistry was really beautiful. And Annie Hall, I think Woody Allen and Diane Keaton, because of their real-life relationship and also because of their familiarity working together, there's a weird kind of intimacy and honesty that transcends just the writing or the film, that's just very naturally there between them. I think it's very human and very, very nice.
I like that, those two picks, too. With Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine, they're such believable actors in everything, I think, that they do. And that kinship that they developed, as the characters developed in that movie before they did fall in love, was just so heartwarming. And I really fell in love with that movie, too. In fact, talking about it has made me want to see it over again. So
so
thank
it's
you
so
for
watchable.
Thank you for bringing that more to the forefront here. I really loved, of course, Bogart and Bergman in Casablanca. So that would, I mean, that, forever they will be on the top of my list. Too bad, though, that the movie Gilda was never picked for Best Picture. I think Glenn Ford and Rita Hayworth may have topped Bogart and Bergman. Only in that movie, though. I mean, I was sure, and I see Gilda every time it shows on television. I see it, and I just like it better every time I see it. And you cannot convince me that there wasn't something going on with those two actors. That whole push-pull, you know, hate-love kind of thing, which just seemed to be so real. And I think that Rex Harrison, I mean, they were so different, Rex Harrison and Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. I think they had remarkable chemistry. Again, it was, you know, starting out not equal. This is like you were talking about, Marilyn, starting out not equal, but wow, they were so by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And Leslie Caron with Gene Kelly in An American Paris. And she had great chemistry with Louis Jardin, too, in Gigi. So I guess we could just go on and on about that. But isn't it fun to watch a great romantic movie with top-notch actors who have this chemistry together, and that's why I was so happy that we could get together and celebrate these films. Now, talking about the upcoming Oscars, when I went through the list of nominees, there are 9 nominations for Best Picture: American Hustle, 12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, and Nebraska. And I might be wrong, and you can contradict me if I am, and I'm sure that you will. I think Her is the only romantic-themed movie in that list of 9. Oh, wait, I left out Philomena and The Wolf of Wall Street, so that brings it to 9. But I still say that Her is the only one where there's an important romance. And here you've got a guy who, played brilliantly by Joaquin Phoenix, who falls in love with his computer or his new artificial intelligence operating system. So what do you think are the chances that for that film to win an Oscar as Best Picture, David?
I don't know about its chances for Best Picture. I feel like this year it's going to be a race between 12 Years a Slave or Gravity or one of those films that they've been putting out. But that and Nebraska were my two favorite films this year. It was Her and Nebraska. And all those films are great, but there was something really honest about Her. And it used what I loved it is it used sci-fi or a different genre to sort of really go into the more natural and human aspects of love and why we fall in love and how it can change us. And sometimes, again, like if a relationship isn't going to work out, how it makes us more open to love and knowing that we have the capacity for it. So I thought it was really interesting the way it used very extreme sort of things like artificial intelligence or maybe not even that extreme when you look around and how people are, you know, with all this technology, how we're connecting to people or how we're not connecting to people. I thought it really held up a mirror to that and was a really good allegory about modern love and why we fall in love.
I agree, and it was one of the most creative of the nominees this year. How about you, Marilyn? Do you think it has any chance?
Well, no, not really.
No.
I don't think.
I don't either.
It's not the kind of film that the Academy tends to favor. As you see through the long history of the Oscars, we had a relatively small list of romantic films that actually won. So if you're just going to play the odds, then I think it has a poor chance. And it does. There are some larger films, some prestige films like 12 Years a Slave that I think would fit more with what the Academy favors over time. That said, it's hard to think of a more original type of love story. There have been attempts at this in the past, and one of my favorite films of recent years was Lars and the Real Girl, which is again another sort of fantasy type of romance. Her is a little bit more realistic in that they actually have Scarlett Johansson actually acting as the part. So we're talking about a real artificial girl in that regard. But I do think it's an interesting theme, and I agree completely with David that it has a lot of interesting things to say about love in the modern world and mediated reality that we all tend to live in from time to time, some of us more than others. And it's an ingenious film, and Joaquin Phoenix, I think, is one of our great actors of the day. So it's unfortunate that it won't probably be recognized. It probably should be, though. That's what I think.
You know what's really interesting, though? Is talking about the point about chemistry, if we're talking about Her, is that Scarlett Johansson was not the original actress And I think Joaquin was doing his performance. I believe it was Samantha Morton who was recording all the lines. And then Spike Jonze did not feel that the chemistry or that the film was working. And then he went he worked with Scarlett for a couple of months and redid all the lines. So originally it wasn't her.
Oh my
so that's
God.
Maybe even more about how important chemistry is to make
exactly
to make
that and that
work.
Voice it would be easy to fall in love with that voice for sure. And I can't believe that the time is almost up for this show. We are going to have to get together again and talk about more about movies. Are you both willing to come on the show again sometime in the future?
Absolutely.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah,
great. You just are so knowledgeable about film, both of you, and so interesting to listen to. But I see we're almost out of time. Marilyn, please give the URL to your Furtion Film site so our listeners can check it out.
Yes, it's Furtion Films. That's Ferdy and an S at the end of films. .com, and you can go there where I and my blog partner, Roderick Keith, cover films from every era, every country, silent to today, and I like to call it off-road film reviewing because we take on films that maybe you haven't heard of or you haven't seen in a while.
And I'm so glad you do, and I encourage listeners to definitely check out Furtion Films. And David, where can our listeners check out Things I Don't Understand?
We are currently streaming and available for download at www.tidu.vhx.tv for $4.99.
Oh, all right. And don't miss that because you need to see this very, very well done independent film by David Spaltrow. Thank you, Marilyn and David, for being such terrific guests again today, but it's time to wrap things up. So I want to give a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for featuring this episode as one of their staff picks, and to Nikki Starr for all her excellent help. Thanks to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. We hope everyone enjoyed the show. Please come back next time for a special show about Marilyn Monroe featuring author and psychoanalyst Dr. Alma Bond, who has agreed to discuss her book Marilyn Monroe on the Couch. It should be a fascinating show. That's all for now, folks. In keeping with today's theme, here's Brian Ferry to take us out with one of the most romantic movie themes or songs from a movie, and it's from one of the films we discussed today, a very important film, Casablanca. I think you all know what it is, and happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say, I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs, never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story. A fight for love and glory. A case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. Thank you. for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time.